Hello, everyone. It is Thursday, March 8th, 2018, and you're listening to another episode of the Packers Podcast. My name is Michael Cohen, and I'm here with fellow beat reporter Tom Silverstein, who is back from the Combine, and we have already moved into the world of free agency, which kicks off in earnest Monday, March 12th, with the legal tampering period, and then, of course, the new year begins 2 days later, March 14th. So, Tom, are you ready for the next wave of madness?
I guess so. I'm never really ready for free agency. Well, it used to be that the only thing you had to follow was where the Packers free agents were going. And that was always a little bit of a mystery. Sometimes there was a big name guy that you had to, that always went down to the wire. And, you know, the Packers would sign him right at midnight or whatever it took. This year is going to be a lot different. They don't have a must-sign guy who will be a hot commodity on the market. They can pretty much slow play this the way they want. And the only question I think we'll know before – we should know before the start of free agency is whether they sign Mohamed Wilkerson.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the news that you were keeping track of the other day, where the former New York Jets first round pick was released by the Jets and took a visit to Green Bay. I believe that visit was Wednesday night into Thursday. So he could actually be here right now while we're recording this.
He is. He is supposed to be. So he arrived Wednesday evening. I don't know what he did with the Packers. I'm sure he did something. Then I think he was supposed to spend the day with them Thursday. And then we'll see whether they let him go. My guess is they do. But I would think that's a guy they want to sign.
I wonder what their restaurant of choice is when they bring these guys here and they take them out to dinner. Because that's one thing you always hear is had dinner with the Packers coaches. But where are you going in Green Bay?
Yeah, I predicted the Union Hotel because don't they have that like 3-pound or 12-pound steak or something on their menu? It's like this enormous piece of meat, you know, and I'm just thinking that's where they go. It's fairly small. I don't know that for a fact. They could go anywhere. But seems to me that you want to impress a guy, you bring him to a big old steak place.
You mean you don't just take him to Lodge Kohler and put him right across the street from Lambeau Field and have whatever bar food they have there?
You could, or, you know, you could be like us and go to Jimmy John's, you know.
That's true.
Or take him to Moe's or something like that, you know.
Hey, we've seen more than one Packers player at Chipotle when we've gotten lunch there before.
That's for sure. And we just mentioned three places. I think we should be getting some advertising from them immediately.
That would be very nice. That would be very nice. I do know that when Richard Sherman came up here and had his Achilles done, he stayed at Lodge Kohler. So at least when they have surgery done, that's where they're putting the guys.
No kidding. Okay. So that's probably where he's staying.
Yeah, yeah, could be. But anyway, we've gotten sidetracked there. So you think that they'll let Wilkerson walk out the door without a contract?
I don't know for certain. I think so. I think they've, you know, the number is probably going to be pretty high in the beginning, and then they've got to play this through. I think it's, you know, what, you know, how much is it going to cost, and what are other teams offering? And I don't think they want to negotiate against themselves. And so I just have a feeling that's what they're going to do.
No, I agree with you. And you pointed out in one of your stories on Wilkerson that his last contract, which was a big one for the Jets, averaged $17 million a year. Now, he's not going to get $17 million a year this time. But if you're a player that makes that much, whether you think you're going to get it or not, how far down are you willing to go? Like, if you made 17, I think personally there's no chance he asks for less than 10. But that's just my guess.
Yeah, well, your agent has to be the one who determines that. You know, he has to read the market, and I think that I just think they will figure out something. I don't know what it's going to be. You're probably right. It's going to be in the 8 to 10 million range, and I would think that there will be some security there for the Packers and for Wilkerson in case he has a monster year again. It might be a 2-year deal with a huge roster bonus next year that makes the Packers decide whether they want to keep him or not. He's only 28 years old, so he probably wants another bite at the apple at some point. I would think that would be the kind of deal, maybe a 3-year deal that is actually a 2-year deal, something like that.
Well, that was another sticking point I wanted to ask you about. For a guy like this that is 28 and does have a lot of talent, is this going to be a situation where years it might be more of the sticking point potentially than the dollar amount?
Could be. Could be. I mean, years don't matter if the money's right.
True.
And I think really it'll just come down to how they view each other. He might want some security, or it depends. He might just decide, okay, I'm gonna resurrect my career. I'm gonna get back to how I was playing, and then I'm gonna cash in again. And maybe he only wants a 1 or 2 year deal. So that's what plays into this.
One of the factors that will be interesting to see how this plays out too is if they sign Wilkerson and if it turns out to be a deal that, we view to be a little expensive or at least on the higher side, that'll be sort of our first indication of to what extent Gutekunst is willing to pay attention to what the coaches really want. Because I don't think, I mean, I guess Wilkerson could visit if Mike Pettine isn't the defensive coordinator, but I'm sure that's a huge reason why. And so if Pettine and McCarthy both come away from this meeting and saying, yeah, we really could use this guy, but it's maybe a little bit more than what, Gutekunst wants to spend, this is going to be our first example of how that relationship could start to play out.
Yeah, and Russ Ball have a big say in this as well. I mean, he's the cap guy. He's the one who knows how much is too much. And I mean, Gutekunst has to put a value on him. That'll be done between him and Russ Ball. McCarthy, I would assume, is not a part of that. He shouldn't be a part of it. But that's their job, is to put a value on the guy. McCarthy's job is to evaluate him and tell him, what they think of him. From there, Gutekunst takes that opinion and has his own opinion, and then that decision is his, I think. So we'll see. There's a cap issue here too. The Packers, I was just researching it today, and it looks like they're about 19.7 million under the cap. I know it's been reported lower, but this was the latest report from the Players Association. I got someone to look it up for me. And so it's a little more than we thought it would be. They can do some stuff with that kind of money. Even with the Aaron Rodgers deal looming, they can still sign some guys.
So when it's all said and done, do you think they end up going with Wilkerson?
I do. I think they will sign him.
I
Yes.
do too. I agree.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to some of the Packers free agents, and then at the end we'll circle back to some other guys that are out there from other teams. But let's start with the only, I guess, moderately pressing or potentially pressing issue, because you said there is no marquee guy, but the next guy on the totem pole would be Morgan Burnett. Morgan Burnett is 29 years old, just turned 29 in January, and he would be one of those rare players that you and Bob have told me about over the years with the potential to have a third contract from the Packers, which doesn't happen very often. What do you think, is Burnett's situation right now? Do you believe that the injuries and things have slowed him down to the point where he's just not quite the same guy he was even a year ago?
Yes, I'd be really concerned about that. I mean, he's a guy who takes care of his body. He's in great shape. He's a good guy to have around. But I would be worried a little bit about injury. I think that the Packers probably feel differently about him than I do. I think they value him and want him back in a fairly big way. But my opinion is that You've got younger players. You got some guys who, you probably have to take a little bit of a chance back there and maybe sign a less expensive guy, or put your trust in Kentrell Bryce to be the nickel safety. Something that I think somewhere you got to save some money. And with Burnett, the health issue concerns me, and just I don't see the big plays. I don't see him being an $8, $9 million, $10 million safety, because I just don't see the big plays.
I agree with you. I think, the groin injury and the hamstring injury, those were things that cost him 4 games this year. He only played 69% of snaps. And, the other thing too is the fact that this season and last season he played, maybe not a lot, but a decent amount of that nitro package where he's crashing into 300-pound guys on a regular basis up front in the defensive line. And you just wonder if that would accelerate any sort of deterioration that he had physically, because for the early part of his career, he wasn't smashing into linemen, over and over again in that nitro package. And then the other thing is something that you pointed out to me that I didn't really notice at the time, and it wasn't until I went back and watched the play again, but that one play in Pittsburgh where he just couldn't get close to the sideline, on that 33-yard pass, I think it was to Antonio Brown. The Packers were in cover two, and Roethlisberger put it between Devon House, who has the flat, and Morgan Burnett, who's supposed to cover deep. And it wasn't like it was a bullet throw or any, he just couldn't get there. And that to me, with the injuries, the lack of speed maybe, is something. But I think that ultimately this could be a Micah Hyde type situation where they might want to bring him back, but they just get priced out by somebody else.
Yes, very much so. And I'm sure they're gun shy after losing Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward, giving up on them and then getting burned by it. But I just, to me, you're always looking to get younger and faster. And I know Josh Jones looked like a bust last year, but you used a high pick on him, and I think you have to trust that your new coaches can coach him and find a place, because athletically, he's better than what you have, than anybody you have at that position. So at some point you got to trust your coaches a little bit.
So it sounds like you and I are in agreement that Burnett ultimately ends up somewhere else.
Well, I'm not sure that I agree with that,
Oh,
because I
okay.
think the Packers think differently than I do. I
Okay,
think the
okay.
Packers do really value him and are going to try very hard to re-sign him, but I don't think that's the right move. I mean, I don't think they should go as high as it might go.
Okay, that's fair. How about Ahmad Brooks, sticking with the letter B's here? This is a guy who will be 34 on the day the new league year begins, March 14th. A guy who played, let me see, what do I have him down for? 33% of the snaps, missed 4 games, 3 with a back problem, 1 with a concussion. I think this is going to be your classic Brett Goode kind of situation, who we'll talk about in a minute, where they just wait and wait and wait, and if something goes wrong or they can't get bodies that they need, maybe in August or September they bring him back.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I think that's the smart move. You wait and see what you get in the draft, whether you need another guy like that. I know he's really committed to playing, to continue playing. I guess he's been up in Green Bay working out every day, getting ready for the season. I think probably trying to show them that he's not done, but I don't think you can spend a lot of money on him. At the time, that they did sign him, he was a productive guy, and he was going to be a starter, could have been a starter in San Francisco, and that they were desperate. They needed someone, so they paid him. I don't think that's the case this time around. So I do think that that's a guy they'll slow play.
Now, is there any risk at all to waiting until August or September, given that if they bring him in at that point, it's not the same defense he played in last year, so he wouldn't
No,
necessarily know it?
this guy is a veteran's veteran. You know, he's played inside linebacker, he's played outside linebacker, can put his hand down. He, you know, you could throw him. He's a smart football player. You can throw him out there and he'll play whatever you
Gotcha.
ask him to play. So
Gotcha.
that would not be a problem at all.
Now, my opinion on this is it actually wouldn't surprise me if they do bring him back in September, because if nobody else has signed him by that point, the price is going to go down. I mean, if you can get him on a really cheap deal, I don't think he's a bad guy to have around.
No, I think I think it really depends. Again, you know, this time Vince Beagle is going to be, you would hope, or
Right,
they
that's
would hope
true.
that he's going to be healthy, a lot stronger. You want to get him on the field. You know, if Fackrell continues from where he left off, then he's a guy you're going to want to get some snaps, and more than likely they're going to sign or they're going to draft at least one edge rusher. So, you know, it'll all depend on what their injury situation and draft situation is.
Sticking with the older guy theme, how about Jarre Evans, a guy who came in on a 1-year deal for them, played guard and played, about as, in terms of availability, about as much as they could have hoped for. He was in there for, the entire season, and with the exception of, I believe, the finale, he sat out, or the last two games, excuse me. But before that, he was 87% of snaps, and obvious deterioration given his age. Do you think, A, that Jarre Evans plays football again next year, and B, another guy they could slow play, but do you think he ends up being a potential option later in the summer?
I think he will come back if someone offers him a starting job. But if it's clear that he's not going to start, that he's not, you know, pegged to be a starter, then my guess is that he probably hangs it up. I think the Packers, if they could get him back on a minimum wage deal and have him be a backup, he's a great guy to have in the locker room. You know, you could play him. He'd give you veteran experience in case there's an injury or something. He's a nice backup plan. But their plan is to get a guard and, you know, a guard or a tackle. But I'm guessing they're going to get a guard and try to find a starter in the draft. And there's, you know, in the first two or three rounds, there's some pretty good guards that they could find there. And I definitely think that there'll be a different starter there. But again, this will be probably, you know, this will probably be the same scenario with Brooks.
Could it be a situation like the Packers had with LaTroy Guyon and Kenny Clark, or what you sometimes see with quarterbacks, where maybe they bring Jarre Evans in and they start him for the first two, three, four, five games, but then the rookie that you mentioned, whoever they end up drafting, maybe that guy ends up assuming the starting role by the midway point of the year. Is that anything you think they could consider?
Maybe, but they've not been afraid to start rookies. You know, they've
Obviously,
not been afraid
yeah.
to throw guys into the mix. You know, when they cut Josh Sitton, they were not afraid to throw Lane Taylor in there, and he had very minimal experience. Bakhtiari started as a rookie. It's just, you know, if they like a guy, they're going to put him in there. And at guard, I think that's not really asking too much. I think they could play a rookie there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I tend to think that Jarre will only come back if he's given a starting role, and I don't necessarily see that happening in Green Bay. Now, how about Brett Goode? I threw his name out there a couple minutes ago in terms of, using him as an example, but this is, I feel like every season now, at least every season I've been on the beat, it's well, we're gonna look for somebody younger and faster, and then when they don't find it, they just go back to Brett Goode.
Yeah, and that'll be the case again this year. They'll continue to look for someone younger and faster and a good snapper, and then they'll see whether they need him. That's exactly how this is going to go. And plus, he doesn't want to go to camp. I mean, he doesn't want to go to OTAs or anything like that. I don't think he wants to go to training camp. You know, he gets to spend time with his kids. He
Yep.
stays in shape. He knows how to snap. I don't think that's a decision you have to make until about August 15th.
No, I totally agree with you. That one's pretty simple. Now, one that could be fairly complicated. What do you make of the Dimitri Goodson situation?
I think you can bring him back. I would bring him back on a minimum deal. You know, he's restricted, right?
He's unrestricted. This is the end of his rookie contract.
He is, huh? He's unrestricted.
Yes.
I would just offer him a minimum wage deal. Nobody else is going to offer him anything more than that. He's a guy with injury history, hasn't really played that great. Decent special teams guy that maybe that could entice someone to give him, $100,000 of guaranteed money. But I don't think it's worth, I don't think this is an issue where they'll have a problem re-signing him. I think they'll re-sign him right before, that April 15th date when everyone comes back.
When we talked on a previous podcast about how much of your roster can you dedicate to guys that only play special teams, one guy that we'll talk about, I mean, we can just do it right now. We can talk about Goodson and Janis sort of in the same breath, and that the best contributions they have made for the Packers have been on special teams. Now, obviously, Janis has been a better special teams player than Goodson, but Goodson's primary contribution when he was healthy in years past was special teams as well. Now, given the injury history for Goodson, the fact that he hasn't played, in well over a year, is this a situation where if they want to keep a quote unquote ace special teams guy, that they could get Goodson significantly cheaper than Janis?
Yes, absolutely. And they're going to have to make some financial decisions. And one of those, I think, is to let Janis go. I think he'll get a decent contract somewhere, maybe 1.8 somewhere, 1.5. And I think that's one of those situations where they need to just go with a minimum wage guy. And Goodson was a very good gunner during when he was healthy. Trevor Davis turned out to be a really good gunner
Yes, he did.
in the second half of the season. Josh Jones, if he can stop having committing penalties every time he goes down, was a pretty good gunner. I just think at some point, as good as Jeff Janis was, you have to be financially sound, and you can't pay everybody.
Yeah, if Janis was still your starting kick returner, like he was 2 years ago, then maybe you can justify it and say, well, he's giving us special teams value in terms of coverage, but he's also our kick returner who can break one and maybe give us one or two touchdowns a year. Then maybe I could see it. But I agree with you. I think if you're really looking to trim money in places without necessarily, going to Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson, if they don't want to do that and asking them to restructure. Janis is a place where you can save, if you talk about 1.8 million versus the minimum, you can save $1 million right there.
Well, and the other thing is, if he could just offer you what Geronimo Allison offers you as a receiver, or even Michael Clark, something where the guy could catch 20 balls a year and score a couple touchdowns and be, maybe catch a couple of deep balls, or you had enough confidence in him, but that's not the case. And you could really make a case to keep him then, because you may have to make some tough decisions at wide receiver, but I don't see that as a factor at all.
Now, how about Devon House, another guy that was brought in as a veteran, underachieved probably a little bit last season, dealt with a ton of injury issues, but is a guy that is very good in the locker room, and a guy that has the physical tools in terms of, size and length that teams like. What do you get the sense of in terms of his market or his relevance to the Packers?
I think they want him back. I think they like him. He's good locker room guy. Decent, it kind of counteracts what they get from Demarius Randall. I think they would like him back, but I don't think they're going to offer him a lot. I don't think the market is very great for him. He was decent when he was healthy, and that's always been the knock with him in Green Bay, is that he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And it's funny because in Jacksonville he did for two years. He was healthy, and then all of a sudden, and whatever it is about Green Bay, he can't stay healthy. And so I think they will try to re-sign him, but I don't think it's going to be for a lot.
Now, one thing I was just you your question about Goodson sort of sparked something in my head. Now, he was in the same draft class as Janis, so this would have been the end of his contract. But because he was on PUP all year, essentially, does that count as an accrued season? Because if it doesn't, then he'd only have three.
Yeah, I have to look. I have my list of free agents, and I can't, for some reason I thought he was RFA.
I was going off of SpotRac and what they use for all the contracts, and they listed him as unrestricted. And in terms of years, like not considering what happens in those years, he's the same draft class as Giannis, so he would be unrestricted. But he didn't. I don't know if last season counts as an accrued season if you're not on, IR even for.
Well, he was activated
True.
onto the 53. So I think he did. Yeah, I think he's unrestricted.
Okay. So there you go. Then our conversation there applies. Sorry about that. Just wanted to mention that quickly while it popped into my head. I agree with you about House. I think that's a guy that they would like to bring back, if they can at the right number. And he's certainly not a guy that's going to go in the first wave of free agency. He's a guy that's going to be around later. And honestly, I think that he would probably take a fair deal to stick around in Green Bay. He made it very clear that his experience in Jacksonville was not good. And he likes what goes on here. He wants to be here, I think. Although it's a very drastic change from his off-season home in Maui. But yeah, no, I think they'd like to bring him back too.
Yeah, I think so.
So alphabetically, that does bring us to Janis. We touched on it a little bit, but I ultimately think Chip Janis is not here next year. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case. I
Okay.
do.
Another unrestricted guy, Ulrik Jahn.
Boy, flip a coin on that one. I don't know. Would they really want him back, if they've got Murphy coming back, they got Spriggs coming back, McRae can play all kinds of positions. Maybe they just bring him to camp.
That was
Why
my
not?
thought. Bring him to camp because he wasn't in camp with you last year. See if he all of a sudden the light bulb clicks and you never know. But I agree with you. I think it's a coin flip there.
Yeah, he's not going to get anything other than a minimum wage deal.
No. And then the last unrestricted guy, Richard Rodgers, who obviously has been a divisive figure among fans and, for the team sticking with him, given his lack of speed and some of his other limitations as a blocker. What do you think about that one?
I think they'll try to re-sign him.
I
I
agree.
just don't think it's, again, it'll be another guy who's not going to get a whole lot of money, but they got to have a tight end on the roster. They just can't go in with nobody. Emmanuel Bird doesn't really count.
They still
And
have Kendricks.
yeah, they do have Kendricks. That's a good point. But I think they're going to cut him. I really do. I think they're going to save themselves some money at some point and release him. So it'll probably happen as soon when they sign Rodgers. They probably want to keep Kendricks as a safety valve, and then if they can re-sign Rodgers, my guess is they would let him go. They're going to need that cap money at some point.
I hadn't thought about releasing Kendricks as an option, but I do agree with you that they will try and re-sign Richard Rodgers. And then when you explained why it makes sense to cut Kendricks, I agree with that as well. So that would be a situation there where I think that could be what we see, where it's Emmanuel Byrd and Richard Rodgers, at least up until the draft, or if they go out and get somebody in free agency.
Yeah, and they will draft a tight end. I
I
can
would be
almost
shocked if they
guarantee
didn't, yeah.
they will take it, and maybe on the second day, second or th maybe in the second or third round, I should say, maybe the
Right.
fourth, but they'll take a tight end.
Then for restricted free agents, it's pretty easy. There's only two of them. One is Jacob Shum, the punter who spent all year on IR, and he's not going to be tendered,
He's
according
gone,
to a
yeah.
source. So that's an easy one. Then the other one is Joe Thomas, who has, played a lot of snaps for them at times, dealt with a big ankle injury this year that limited his playing time. And when he came back, Blake Martinez was playing well enough where The Joe Thomas role as that dime linebacker was essentially gone because you couple Martinez's strong play with what Capers was doing by playing more safeties in terms of Josh Jones and Morgan Burnett as the slot guys. And, you know, there were a lot of different permutations there. I kind of think this could be the end of the road for Joe Thomas. What do you think?
They won't tender him. I can guarantee you that. They're not going to pay him. I'm not sure what the low tender is, but it's well over $1 million. And so they won't tender him, but they could bring him back on a minimum wage deal.
Yes, that I agree
with.
I can
see that happening. They've done that before. They've cut guys, RFAs, or not tendered them, and then re-signed them at a much lower rate.
Yeah, Jaron Elliott. Jaron Elliott was an example of that, and then they ultimately traded him.
Yeah, so I would say that that's a pretty good possibility. And then, you know, that's a guy they can just, again, another person they can slow play a little bit and see what they got.
Now, we won't go through every one of these exclusive rights guys, but I'm going to read through the list top to bottom, and then I think we should just say if there's any guys we don't think that they will bring back. Mm-hmm. Geronimo Allison, Donatello Brown.
Oh, do you want to go one by one?
Well, we can go one by one real quick. Geronimo Allison, he'll be back,
yeah,
right?
He's back, yeah.
Donatello Brown.
Yeah, they'll re-sign him.
Joe Callahan.
Yep.
Michael Clark.
Yep.
Gerard Evans.
You know, is he a practice squad guy? Didn't they sign him?
Did they sign him to a futures deal?
Yeah, he was a practice squad guy, right?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, so I think they let me look. I've got the list. I think they did re-sign him.
Okay. Joe Carriage?
Yeah, they could bring him back.
I think they bring him back too. Justin McCray, that one's obvious.
Yes.
Adam Pankey, I think after investing a whole year in him, keeping him on the 53, you better bring him back. Yeah.
Jeez.
Lucas Patrick, I think he comes back.
Yeah.
Tabor Pepper.
Yeah, why not? You know, they signed this other guy. I can't even think of his name right now. Right at the end of the season to a futures deal. But why not give Pepper another chance? I mean, he was shaky, but it takes those guys a little bit of time.
Herb Waters.
Absolutely.
Why not? I mean, if you need a corner and Joe Witt raves about this guy as much as he does, I don't see why he wouldn't.
Yeah. The special teams possibilities there. Yep. Absolutely. And don't forget, all these guys will not count against the cap because only the top 51 players count against the cap. And so typically your minimum wage, young guys, second, third year guys don't count because they can't make it up through the top 51. And they definitely won't be in the top 51 when the draft picks are added. So this is like free.
Right.
And plus they don't make any money till they make the team. So all these guys, there's no risk in resigning them other than injury.
And then the last one is Jermaine Whitehead, who I think played well enough for them to bring him back as well.
Yeah.
Now, one thing about the quarterbacks, though, you know, if they did sign Evans to a futures deal and you thought that they were going to bring Callahan back, you know, that gives them four quarterbacks already with Rodgers and Hundley under contract.
Yeah.
I think they're going to cut Callahan and Evans, and I think they're just going to draft two guys or bring in a veteran or somebody. I know they like Joe Callahan. I don't see that one.
Yeah, maybe it's possible. I think they will draft a quarterback for sure. Evans, you may be right. Maybe they didn't re-sign him. I got to go back and look at that. But either way, Callahan will probably be on the roster till they get through the draft.
Right.
And if they draft somebody, they'll still bring four. And, you know, what the heck? Maybe Joe Callahan will outperform Brett Hundley. You never know.
Have they ever brought five to camp that you can remember?
Not that I remember, no.
Okay. All right. Now, in advance of this second half of the podcast, I went through this morning and looked at free agents, unrestricted guys from other teams at a bunch of different positions, and wrote down lots of names of guys that I thought, you know, were at least somewhat reasonable possibilities. And I thought we could go through those kind of as a fun rapid fire thing, because there's nothing fans like more than hearing about guys that may be on the Packers. So quarterback, we'll start there. In terms of the veterans, I got four guys. I'll read through them. I'll get through all four and then tell me what you think about that group. Josh McCown, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Derek Anderson, Matt Barkley.
I wouldn't mess with any of those.
Really?
McCown is going to try to probably be a starter with the Jets again. I don't know what they're trying to do.
Okay.
Barkley, I got no interest in that guy.
Okay. Derek Anderson was the backup to Cam Newton this year, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick was sort of a half starter with Jameis Winston.
I'm not sure that, you know, Fitzpatrick I've liked for a long time, but I don't think either of those guys are coming to Green Bay to be a number three, you know? And I think that's going to be the problem, is that Hundley, the assumption is that Hundley's going to be the backup. At least that's how anybody is going to read that situation.
Correct.
So it's going to be hard to get anybody but like a Matt Barkley or, you know, some guy who's kind of just been floating around
right,
you know, third stringer somewhere.
Now, at running back, I don't think they're going to sign any unrestricted guys, so I didn't see anybody really that made sense.
They don't need to.
Right.
But, you know, you want those young guys to be your backs next year.
All right, I got four guys at wide receiver. Taylor Gabriel, Marquise Lee, Paul Richardson, and John Brown.
Interesting group.
Speed with John Brown and Taylor Gabriel. Marquise Lee was a decent producer with a bad quarterback, or at least a moderate quarterback in Jacksonville. And then Paul Richardson just sort of is a deep threat in terms of what he can do aerially down the field.
Well, typically they're not big on small guys even that can run. I mean, even Randall Cobb is not your typical small guy. I mean,
right.
he's more of a power small guy. So that makes me think, you know, Gabriel's not really a factor.
Okay.
Lee is a big receiver. I think definitely could be someone they would look at. Richardson for sure.
And then John Brown was the last one from Arizona.
And then John Brown, yeah, he's kind of intriguing. You know, he is a burner. I'd have to look up his size, but I don't think of him as a tiny guy.
Let me see. I can look that up right now.
Yeah, and they do need some speed. They do need someone who can stretch the field. And so
He's small. 5'11", 179.
Yeah, 5'11" is not horrible. I was thinking like what's Gabriel?
He must be small. Yeah, let me see. I was even going to say like 5'9". Let's see. 5'8".
Yeah.
5'8", okay, 165.
So, you know, Brown would probably be a more likely guy for them to look at. My guess is that if they bring in a wide receiver there, it would be like a guy like Richardson.
Okay.
You know, someone who's not going to be even close to being a starter, but could just be a nice number three or four guy to add, you know, compete with Geronimo Allison for some playing time.
Gotcha. Now, the tight end group, I think, is very interesting. And I've got five names here. All of them, I think, could benefit the Packers in various ways. The big name, of course, is Jimmy Graham that everyone has thrown out there. And then the four other ones that I liked based on the list, Levine Toilolo, a very good blocker from Atlanta. Trey Burton won the Super Bowl with Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Tyler Eifert from the Bengals. And Austin Seferian Jenkins from the Jets.
Mm-hmm. There's one other guy I like. He might be restricted. The guy from Tampa, Brait.
He might be restricted.
Yeah, I think he is restricted. So never mind on that. You know, none of those guys, you know, Jimmy Graham does not excite me.
Me neither. I don't get that at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing with Russell Wilson on a team that's got good wide receivers, but and likes to run the ball. But man, every time I've seen him, it's just not been impressed with him. So I wouldn't put too much money. I wouldn't spend the money on him. Who else did we say now again?
Toilolo, Trey Burton, mm-hmm. Tyler Eifert, and Austin Seferian Jenkins. The one I like on that list, if he could ever stay healthy, is I think Eifert is a very good player.
Oh my God, yeah, he's a great player. Really good receiver, but that back, he's got a back injury, and that's
Right.
really worrisome. You know, if you could get him at a nice deal, why not? But
Right.
there's a lot of risk going in there, and you know, the Packers are one team that cannot afford to have their veterans be injury prone, because all their rookies are, you know, their rookies get hurt a lot, and they just can't afford to have a lot of guys who are injury prone. They need these guys who never come out of the lineup. And so that would kind of scare me about him. Seferian Jenkins, I know everybody's like always really high on him. You know, he kind of a comeback story and all that.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if I would mess around there.
Toilolo or Burton?
Burton's a nice veteran guy, but I just don't think he's the kind of guy they go after. And
the only reason I put Toilolo on there is because he was the blocking tight end for Atlanta, and obviously Richard Rodgers, you know, can't block. So.
Yeah, they do need a blocking guy. There are some guys in the draft who can block.
Yeah.
And you know, you do need a veteran, but yeah, I think they might kind of play around there, but I'd be surprised if they sign anybody.
Okay. Now, along the offensive line, I don't honestly know a ton about the tackle position, and I don't think that they would go out and sign anybody. Do you?
Yeah, no. I think they like their offensive line.
Okay.
I think they will draft a guard, maybe two.
I don't think they'll dip in. I don't
play guard.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll dip into the guard market either. It gets too expensive.
Yeah, you know, there might be someone who slips through the cracks, someone who gets cut later on that they bring in, just for insurance. But they're not going to spend a lot of money on a guard.
Okay.
Not when they can draft one, I don't think.
We talked about Wilkerson already on the defensive line, so we'll skip him. But the other defensive lineman that sort of, you know, caught my attention, Adrian Claiborne, Alex Okafor, Haloti Ngata, just because of his ties to Patton. I know he's 34 years old, but they obviously work together in Baltimore. Sheldon Richardson or Star Lotulelei?
I don't
think they're going to go with any of them, honestly. I don't think they're going to sign anybody
so
there.
Yeah, I think not unless they lose Wilkerson.
Right.
If they lost Wilkerson, you know, Sheldon Richardson's a really good player.
Yes, he is.
Really talented. Could Patton get something out of him? Maybe. Maybe he likes him. I don't know. I don't know how he feels about him. He obviously feels a lot better about Muhammad Wilkerson.
Right.
So I would say those guys are all fallbacks if nothing happens. You know, a guy like Ngata, he's pretty one-dimensional now. You know, they could probably get a younger guy like Quentin Dial to do what they would want Ngata to do. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Those guys get so overpriced.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's Wilkerson or bust.
Okay. Then you look at the linebacker group, and I sort of just grouped inside and outside guys together, just for the sake of, you know, going through this quicker. I got several names on this list, so I'll just do three at a time. Pernell McPhee, Tahir Whitehead, Eric Walden.
Walden, they've been there, done that. Tahir Whitehead isn't a bad player.
I've always thought he's a good player.
You know, I'll bet you Detroit tries to re-sign him.
I think so, too.
McPhee
was cut, wasn't he?
Yeah, McPhee was cut. I think he had some juice to him a few years ago, but I think he's kind of hit the wall.
Okay.
Is a little bit of a guy now. So I don't think there's anyone there.
Okay. And then the second group of guys I have are inside guys. Although Whitehead, I guess, plays inside too sometimes. Brian Cushing, Navarro Bowman, Zach Brown, Preston Brown. The last two, the Browns being tackle machines.
Yeah. I mean, Preston Brown is a great tackler. I think I read somewhere he's not a good locker room guy.
Okay.
And Zach Brown, yeah, same. I don't know about his locker room, but yeah, those guys are tackling machines. A lot of it depends on what they're going to do with Clay Matthews.
Right.
And then also whether Pettine likes to play a lot of dime or nickel. But they do, you know, they could use a tackler there. They really could.
Just, you know, because Jake Ryan, I think, is just, I think you can take a step better than that.
Yeah, I think you can do better. I agree. And, you know, Martinez is the guy, and he will be. But boy, it's always nice to have a complement, you know, two really good inside linebackers. If you can get one at a decent price, you know, they got to think about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now the corner position, which is, if they're going to splash money, I think this is the most likely spot for them to do it.
Yeah.
Now, again, there's a pretty decent list here, so I'll just break it up into groups. The first three, Tremaine Johnson from L.A., who's going to be the top guy on the market, Prince Amukamara, Darrell Revis.
Yeah, so Johnson's going to be, you're right, the top corner, and he's going to make a lot of money, way beyond what the Packers are willing to pay.
Agreed.
Amukamara is done, in
okay.
my opinion,
yep.
and Darrell Revis.
Just because he was, that's who they built the entire defense around in New York.
Yeah, and I guess he didn't play all that poorly in Kansas City. You know, he's not going to be he's not the island anymore. But he might be able to, he might be a decent guy to have around. From reading that book about the Jets, he apparently is just a film junkie.
Yep.
And really does study. And that's can have a really good influence. I know it did when Woodson was here.
He'll be 33 in July.
Why not? I mean, I would think about it.
I would too.
You know, it's not going to cost you a ton of money. I don't know what he signed. I'm sure he signed minimum with Kansas City.
And not only that, but Kansas City played him at safety some. And
right.
So if you are looking for a guy that has good study habits and is assignment sound and all those things, he might not be the athletic phenom he was earlier in his career, but I mean, he's not going to commit the same mental mistakes that Josh Jones did, you know?
Right, right. And, you know, if he doesn't have to be your lockdown corner.
No.
You just need him to be, you know, they like to have those, Pettine liked having a really good veteran guy in the defensive backfield.
Yep.
You know? And so
Jim Leonard was their guy forever.
Yeah, and that's why they love Jim Leonard. So who knows? Yeah, that's an interesting guy to consider.
All right, the next three, Justin Bethel from the Cardinals, Malcolm Butler, and Tremon Williams, who is still kicking around at 34.
Yeah, yeah. Justin Bethel is a guy I looked at quite a bit. Really good special teams player.
Gunner. Very good, yep.
That's definitely a guy they could take a look at to replace Janis. I mean, if they're going to lose Janis and they want a guy who can give them, you know, 15 catches, 20 catches. Bethel can do that. I mean, he started a couple games. I mean, not a necessity, but, you know, I just think that's, he can, I'm sorry, I said Janis for catches. I meant that they could get some plays out of him on defense.
Right.
So that he could, actually be worth having, but he would be a good he's an excellent gunner, and he does bring some experience, so that's a guy I'd keep an eye on.
Okay. Malcolm Butler, I say no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I
think he's a little bit one-dimensional and not really quick, and I think that's probably not a guy that they'll be interested in.
Okay, and then the last two on my list, Nevin Lawson from Detroit, who the Packers would be very, very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to throw him in there, Sam Shields.
Yeah. I think there's no way they re-sign Shields.
Yeah, I say 0% chance.
I think they – actually care about him. I mean, a lot of times it's just a cliche, and it doesn't, they don't, they really want to not like a guy, and they don't want to be put him in harm's way. But I really think they do feel like Sam Shields gave him a lot. I mean, this guy came from undrafted free agent to being a starter and gave them a ton. And to have him, to put him out on the field, and if he suffers another concussion and it just destroys him, I think they would feel horrible.
I agree.
And I don't think the reward is worth the risk. Or even if he turns out to go somewhere and play and have a great season, I still wouldn't want to be the team that clears him.
Yeah, and so he visited with the Rams earlier this week. He was posting some photos from inside the Rams facility on his social media account. And then at some point this week, it could even be today, he's supposed to visit with the Cleveland Browns as well. So I think that these could be two of several meetings he takes. And in the end, I just don't know if somebody can sign him unless they could structure some sort of a deal where the only way he gets paid, aside from a small initial signing bonus, is for every week he's on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, but I mean, he told you that one more concussion and he's done,
Exactly.
right?
So
He
why
doesn't
would
want to
you?
play again. So it's just, even if it's cheap, I loved Sam Shields. I enjoyed covering him, and thought he was a really good player. But I just, if it were me, I just wouldn't want to be the one who puts him back on the
Yeah.
field.
And then the last one was Nevin Lawson from Detroit.
Yeah, solid player.
Yeah.
Probably equivalent to House.
I would agree with that.
So, if you can't get House, that would be a guy to go after.
And then the last guy on my list at the safety spot, I only had one name because I don't really think they need anybody there, but Kenny Vaccaro, a guy who gives them a physical presence that they could probably get cheaper than Burnett, maybe. And, a guy that brings a little toughness to the back end.
Yeah, I think they're pretty down on him in New Orleans, that he might have kind of just, I don't know, I don't want to say burned out, but I'm not sure that he's the kind of guy who fits what the Packers do. They like guys who can cover, and I don't know if we can do that anymore.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd be surprised if they sign a safety, unless it's like a special teams guy,
Right. Like a Sean Richardson.
or maybe even a guy who's started some games but is not really what you would call a starting safety. A guy who could come in, a Charlie Peppra type of guy,
Right.
who would fit in and give you some good special teams play, but could start for you in a pinch.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that you've thought of or names you've come across that I didn't have on my list there?
Not a ton.
It's so hard because you're essentially throwing darts at a wall, you know?
Yeah, you are, and you don't know what the Packers' evaluation is. That's the hardest part,
Right.
is you know that there might be some guys who like him in the league, but that doesn't mean that the Packers like him. I just don't know. It's going to be. I think the Packers are going to be very. They'll throw their hat in on some guys, but not as much as we think they're going to. And I, when it's all over, I'd be surprised if they sign more than one guy who makes more than $5 million a year,
Yeah, I was going to say, I think by the time free agency or the first wave of it wraps up, I have a feeling that fans are going to be disappointed because the way that Gutekunst described their level of aggression, I think, is not going to be reflected in dollars spent. Now, it could be reflected in effort, trying to get into these guys, but when the price gets too high, I think they're going to pull back the same way Ted would have.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. And I also think that free agency will last all the way to June for them. I think they'll start looking for bargains later when teams start cutting guys. That's sometimes when you can get really good bargains. And I would guess that they will be definitely be involved in that aspect.
Right, and the important thing to remember too is that just because a team cuts a guy doesn't mean that that team thinks that guy can't play anymore. There can always be financial situations where you sacrifice the guy, or absolutely, you cut the guy for cap reasons. And so, I mean, there are tons of examples every year of guys that get cut that can still play, and the fact that they got cut doesn't signify, you know, that they're a bad player. It just means that maybe their contract wasn't going to jibe with whatever else was going on in their salary picture.
Yeah, I mean, look at Julius Peppers. I mean, perfect example. And I mean, that's what they're hoping with Wilkerson too. So, yep, there's guys who can get cut, but that, you're right, doesn't mean they're bad players.
All right. Well, I think we've just about wrapped up the free agency world here. We've given you 2-hour-long podcasts in the last week. So wow. Hopefully those of you who have sent me all kinds of emails and tweets saying that we need another episode, hopefully you guys will enjoy these and, you know, listen to it twice. Go for it. You know, knock yourself out.
And really, I'm sure we'll be back next week after the start of free agency, and we'll be able to go over all the things that are going on there. So
we hope you guys enjoy this episode. We hope you have a very nice weekend. And don't forget, the legal tampering period begins Monday. The official start of free agency is Wednesday. So there'll be all kinds of
legal tampering.
I know, right?
It's like, is that, you know, it's, that would be like legal speeding. You know,
yeah, I know, right? Or the legal time where you are allowed to manipulate the smoke detector in the airplane bathroom in order to have a cigarette in flight.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, so everybody, we hope you guys have a great weekend. Check out all of our coverage on JS Online and PackersNews.com, and we will talk to you guys soon.